And you see all these things taking place. I was reading up on some articles on some people's interpretation of what some of the vials were, some of the bowls, some of the end time events, and there's a lot of differing opinions over there. Some people think that some of these things have been already taken place. And I think the more that we praise God, the more that we obey Him, and the most things that we definitely understand about what God's holy days are about, the more He's going to open up our understanding. So maybe as these end time events start to transpire, we're going to go, oh yeah, that is put together there. I can see how that's together, instead of going, oh, I got that one totally wrong. That'll probably happen to many, as there's so many prophecies yet to be fulfilled. But anyway, here we are practicing once again, coming before God on His holy day, on the Feast of Trumpets. And thankfully, I'm also thankful for the watch that someone put up here before. I'm using this more than my phone, because my phone doesn't always stay on. So anyway, we had a very nice time, by the way, going back to the wedding. Spoke to the group of the people of the church in St. Louis, as well as some of the surrounding areas that made it for the wedding last week. And then, of course, the Sunday that we had the wedding ceremony itself between Brad Swanson and Melissa Buchanan. So another family that's beginning their start now. Many of us can remember and think about our starts, too. I like to think about that. You know, we were married, my wife and I were married on the day after the Feast of Trumpets in 1986. So it's interesting how the changes and the dates take place. And I was looking at my calendar as well and noticed that exactly 2 weeks from today, guess where you'll be? The opening day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's going to go by really quick. So we have to savor that. And I forget, I think it was Mr. Wooten that I watched walk really close, very slowly up here for the opening prayer today. And I wondered if he was just attempting to slow things down a little bit so we could savor this day a little bit more. You know, I try that sometimes and it just seems to go by quick all the time. Everything goes by so fast. But within that too, I also treasure, because I want to be thankful. One of the things we are thinking about as we're giving our offering is, you know, it's like we can never outgive God, that's for sure. But I think one of the most important points, once again, is He sees our thankfulness. In a world that's going down, there's just so much to be thankful for. Many things as we think about it. I try to think about that all the time. I'm very grateful that Mr. Holmes is coming to the area and is helping out, that Mr. Bledsoe is helping leading songs, that everyone's taking a part in making church services go so smooth and so well every week. I know that I love coming here. So that's a great blessing to be thankful for as well. So many things as we think about to be thankful for. But you know, concerning the Feast of the Feast of Trumpets, not Tabernacles, but the Feast of Trumpets, and once again, can you believe that we're here? What happened to this summer? What happened to the spring? It just, once again, so many are telling me, I think sometimes I'm the only one, but as I talk to so many, we see that time is going by so quickly. And one of the prophecies, once again, in Revelation, it talks about the days being shortened. Wow, if that happens, we're not going to have much time to get anything done because it seems like it's going so fast already. So we're looking at these things and analyzing them, praising God, thanking God that He's given us these holy days. Once again, as we go through these, I can't remember how many years it's been for me. Some of you, this might be over 50 years that you've kept the Feast of Trumpets. I mean, how much more can you learn? There's still a lot of learning as we search God's scriptures and review some of the things that He's teaching us. And don't forget, as this world goes down, we are being prepared to teach others about these days as well. You know, most of the people that are living now that may be living at the time of the unveiling of all these things that are going to take place, they will not be going through a very good time at all. You know, one of the things that we do is we trust in God, as we know that God has given us His protection, that we've got to focus not on necessarily on plagues and wraths being poured out on us. That's God's judgment on this world. But the way that we're going to be involved at the return of Jesus Christ and helping Him to clear up all this mess. I mean, there's going to be some bad disasters that are going to be taking place. as we see again these things unfold. But when one considers the date of this holy day, you might notice a number that God frequently uses to signify completion. Yet we understand that the Feast of Trumpets does not complete the order of days that God commands us to observe. We still have three more holy days that we will be observing this season during the fall harvest. In fact, I've got a list here of sevens. The number seven is often repeated through the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the book which was given to reveal which must shortly take place. It includes seven churches. In Revelation, you'll see chapter 1, verse 4. It includes seven golden lampstands, verse 12. It includes seven stars, in verse 16. Seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, chapter 4, verse 5. Seven seals, chapter 5, verse 1. Seven trumpets, chapter 8, verse 6. A beast with seven heads and 7 and 10 horns, chapter 13, verse 1. Seven thunders, and seven last plagues, which are contained in seven golden bowls. That's a lot of sevens, isn't it? So for whatever reason, God has placed the number seven as it certainly has a lot of significance. The seven seals and seven trumpets and seven last plagues form an outline of prophetic events that will occur before and at the time of Jesus Christ's return to earth. So a lot of these things are going to be taking place as God opens up our eyes to see what's taking place. And as we watch the world events, we are to be continually watching, as the ministry has said for many years now, we're to really watch and pray about these things, that God will help us to be discerners of the times. Where are we within biblical prophecy? And it can give us an urgency as well to make sure that we're prepared as first fruits in doing the job that we're supposed to be doing. Now, in Leviticus chapter 23, let's go over to verse 2 here. This is where, once again, this should be a mechanism here that's within our minds right now. If someone were to ask you about the holy days, this is probably the first book that you would go to in chapter outlining these days. So I tell the children this at camp so they can remember it, because many sometimes within their schools or places of work or whatever, they might get questioned about these days as people will find them going to a Feast of Tabernacles. I remember dealing with that with our children for many years. Sometimes it was easy, sometimes it was a little bit more difficult. And as we prayed about that sometimes, I remember we would go into he'd take his note in, festival excuse, into the teacher, and he'd get varying responses sometimes. One time a woman would say, "Wow, that is a wonderful thing to be able to do, as Zachary would be going to maybe another a country," as we did in 1998, I believe. We went to Belgium for the feast. We took a trip through France and took a trip through England, which took more than just 7 or 8 days of the feast. So he had to get excuses for that. But when he explained it to a teacher that appreciated people gaining in knowledge, they would go, "Oh, yes, I'll give you your homework ahead of time." And it's not always so easy for everyone, but we can pray about that. And God certainly has helped us every year that we've gone through these times and these holy days here. And verse 2, though, the really interesting thing about this day here, though, is not a whole lot is said about it. But there's so much that will taking place. It's not just a one-day event. And it also doesn't say it's the Feast of Trumpet. It's not just one thing that takes place. Some people talk about resurrection. Some people talk about the return of Jesus Christ. That's not all that this day pictures at all. It certainly culminates in that. But even at the return of Jesus Christ, you and I know, well, let me just ask you, at the return of Jesus Christ with his saints, is that going to automatically usher in the millennium? We know it's going to be ushered in, but we know after the Feast of Trumpets, we've got another holy day that's depicted, as we know is the binding of Satan. Other things, the Jubilee is mentioned for that year as well. But before even that time, this is going to be a mess. I mean, this world is going to be taken through chaos with all the plagues. Not many people are going to be left, in fact. when you look at all the millions of people that are going to be killed, not only by the woes and all the things that are going to be taking place, but the 200,000-man army, where's that going to come from? To me, it would seem like the only people right now that could come up with 200,000 from the east would be the Chinese. But I'm not going to say that for a fact. I don't know how things are going to evolve over time here, what's going to transpire in the next few years. I imagine that we're going to get a lot more surprises as we see what's taking place in this world. So we're to watch and watch these things take place. Verse 2, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, regarding the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. That's kind of a smiley face one to bring up, as people will automatically assume that you keep these Jewish feasts. Because once again, another thing is that the Jews have done, and disregarding the days, they've added all their own elements to everything. So the most important thing to them is all these blowing of horns, which again is taking place, but so much is focused on just that instead of what this entire day truly represents. They are just moments or reflections maybe of something that took place in Jewish history. That's all it really means to them. These are my feasts, God says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, that's today. And I bet if you looked out tomorrow, in fact, one thing I saw of significance, saw the Jews over in Jerusalem, where they proclaimed it. There it is. They saw that, because they still do it, not just by calculations, but a lot of them do it by eyesight today. So obviously it must have been a clear day over in Jerusalem, which I know that they do get a lot of clear days over there. It doesn't rain a whole lot, but anyway, that was the new moon. I'm sorry, not the full moon, but the new moon that proclaims the entrance into the first day of the month. It says you'll have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And that's it. That's all. It doesn't explain the meaning. You've got to go to other places in the Bible in order to put these pieces together. But as we see all these events transpiring, as we came out now of the spring harvest culminating in Pentecost, which was the end of the spring harvest, we are now into the fall harvest time. God working with the rest of this world. Don't forget, it says we're returning with him. Our preparation has already been done. We're going to be ready to go to help Jesus Christ, again, finish what's going to be taking place with all of these memorials and blowing of trumpets. This memorial of the blowing of trumpets, this comes from the Hebrew word T-E-R. Well, that's how it's pronounced, but it's actually T-R-U-A-H. T-R-U-A-H, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. That actually can be defined as clamor, acclamation of joy, or a battle cry. Now again, as we see the culmination, this is more of a battle cry when we see Christ's return to this earth. That's the sounding or an alarm, because if you notice, it's not a trumpet per se that's beat out of metal. This is actually the shofar. And that shofar does not make a very nice Herb Alpert type sound. It's very screechy. It's not pleasant. In fact, when somebody starts blowing that, I suppose I could have brought one today, but it really is not one that's pleasant to the ears at all. There's not going to be a whole lot of pleasant things that are going to be done at the return of Jesus Christ. It's going to take some time to finish things, those that resist him and that confront him. And you wonder sometimes, why is that going to take place? Why aren't people going to repent? You know why? Because Satan has done such a good job at blaming God and everybody else for their problems. That's what's taking place in our society today. There's a lot of blame, and there's a lot of anger that comes with it too. And when you get that anger within that, it distorts the mind, that you're not thinking in a clear, concise way. You're more apt to receive the signals from Satan that you are from God. That's what's going to be taking place. It could also mean a shouting. Verse 25 says, you'll do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire. So here God sanctified the first day of the seventh month as a special day, a holy day. and understanding God's plan of salvation for all of mankind, and taking into account the end time events revealed through his word, the first day of the seventh month would really make sense. You could look at it as the beginning of the end. Once that transpires on this world, you're going to see the beginning of the end time events, what's going to be taking place. It even makes more sense when we understand the meaning of a memorial of blowing of trumpets, as we've normally understood a memorial to be a symbol or token of something that is past. Once again, that's what a lot of the Jewish people look at, something that was done in the past. But let's take a look at Colossians 2, where the Apostle Paul spoke concerning God's appointed days. Now, we've gone through a time, even within our own church, some years ago, where this chapter was distorted. They actually took on the opposite meaning that I'm going to explain to you today, because they were saying, well, see, let no one judge you. It's all been changed now. And that's not at all what the Apostle Paul meant when he talked about these appointed days. He said, let no one judge you, verse 16, in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are shadows or a shadow of things to come. I remember grasping onto this at one time when I remember the sun reflecting on me. And you probably have seen that yourself. Probably, I wonder if everybody has done this as a kid. You know, the sun's shining and you're just following your shadow. Have you ever remember doing that? I think every kid probably does that. I'm going to try to follow my shadow, whether that's that or trying to avoid stepping on cracks because supposedly you're going to break your mother's back, things of that nature. I think all kids have gone through that. We teach our kids, nah, you don't want to do that one. That's an old fallacy or a fable. I know sometimes people still do this today. Somebody sneezes and they go gesundheit or something. That goes all the way back to somebody sneezing their soul out of them, so they would say that so you'd get it back. So we don't want to follow that, those kind of forms or traditions either. But looking at this one, this shadow is talking about something that's going to be coming in the future, not necessarily something that took place in the past. Now, other things came upon these days as we go back, where it looks like the time of the Feast of Trumpets was when those trumpets were blown around the walls of Jericho. Again, we're looking more at the things that are going to be taking place in the future, though. We see that God's holy days are shadows or memorials of things to come. God knew that there would be a need for a memorial, or what would happen? We forget so easy. I can't forget, remember where I keep my phone sometimes. Imagine if we didn't keep God's holy days. We would start to forget these things. And many, by the way, have gone through some of this practice, because people that have gone through these days for many years and eventually accepted the lie and stopped keeping them. Sometimes I've heard people tell me that you're going to be going to the feast, and the other people will go, oh, I remember, those things. Oh, you still keep those days. It's like they've totally, completely forgotten everything we've ever done before. I don't ever want to forget those. In fact, I remember many great memories going back to my teens when I was keeping the Feast of Trumpets in a place called Roma Hall in Detroit, Michigan, and all the people that were gathered there and all the ministry that came through. And I did think, coming into the church, that, wow, they had two services in one day. I thought, that's a lot of services to have in one day. I was just used to one short one on a Sunday. But now you've got all these holy days to be kept as well. But you know what I remember? The enjoyment was the fellowship with all the people all day, and then learning about God's holy days and learning about other things as well. So it's the nature of mankind to constantly forget and to backslide. That's why you probably have heard the phrase, quote, history repeats itself. And we're going through that again today. Obviously, can you believe it? In this world, we've got a section of youth that's being influenced by an older senator within our government that's fomenting socialism. I mean, most of us that have gone through government or anything else would just shake our head. Are you kidding me? You think that socialism's is there something that has not been learned before? You know, I understand also we could see some of the flaws within capitalism, but taking those flaws and fixing it through this form that's just done in people and countries for many years, and this seems to be something that's exciting our young people. We're doing it again. So we see it more and more, and these times will get worse as well. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, let's look at an example in history. Because this happened before. It happened to those stiff-necked Israelites. Well, folks, we're descendants of those people. And we tend to take on some of their traits as well. And I think when we do examination, we find ourselves sometimes backsliding like they did as well. Because it takes work for a Christian to grow and to continue in the ways of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Can you believe it? Right now, we're keeping what they did at the same exact time. This is an anniversary of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2. Now, let's look at what transpired and look at the attitudes. This was the Feast of Trumpets all the way back to Nehemiah chapter 8, first day of the seventh month. It says, he read it from the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before all the men and women who could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. Wow! Isn't this incredible? Sometimes I know it's a struggle for us. You know, if I were to take this, now I've got the watch here, so, and I didn't start at 7. I know that, so I don't know what was started exactly at what time, but it seems to indicate this was more than a one-hour or two-hour service, morning until midday, and it says that everybody was attentive. Why do you think everybody was attentive? You know, when you took a beating like that, like they did, I bet that a lot more people are going to be apt to really listen and learn when they're resurrected after they saw Jesus Christ come and they tried to resist and they're wiped out. When they're resurrected, their eyes are going to be open. Their ears are going to be attentive. Let me hear what you have to say. And even then, not everybody's going to be like that. There will still be people that will resist, as the Bible talks about. But it says, all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Because they were more attentive, they were more willing to listen and have their ears to open as to, folks, this is what we talked about all the time. Maybe they gave examples by saying, and here's where we really blew it. Because God said this here, and here's how it started. We started going off track here. So really, I mean, we went through that time, I guess you could say, in the early 80s. There were articles and other things published within the Church of God that talked about getting back on the right track. And because some of the negative and bad things that we have had gone through, the receivership and the departing of doctrines and the STP project that was attempted to be brought out that eventually made its way through again, that took a lot of people away. People more attentive to learn and to say, let's hear this again. Let's reflect on this once again, so I can be certain of what God is telling me and saying. It says, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I believe that Mr. Holmes said that today. He goes, this is not a day of mourning. It's going to be a mess when you talk about, again, all the things that are going to be taking place. But for God's people, this means this is the culmination, the beginning of the millennial time. And though, again, there's going to be a lot of bad things taking place, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. Do you think our eyes are going to be opened when you return with Jesus Christ, not knowing exactly how that will be? I kind of keep seeing I'm going to be riding on a horse somewhere in the ranks there, I hope, as we return with him. Sometimes I think we've thought that we're going to be in some kind of loge box or something, like you'd see at the movie theaters. You know, this is the return of Jesus Christ with his saints. We're going to be actively involved, not knowing exactly how specifically all of us are, in what way, where you're going to be exactly, but we're going to be with Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, our eyes are going to be wide, wide open as we see these things, and it's going to be an exciting time for us, because again, we know what transpires from that point on. That's going to be when our jobs, frankly, are really just beginning to deal with the rest of this world. So he said to them in verse 10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I plan on not taking a whole lot of time with this because I want to eat and drink of the sweet portions that you've brought today and enjoy that as well. So again, I know sometimes we go through this so many times. So when we get the point, so we can be reminded of this, then let's eat because I got to go do this again in Knoxville as well. But again, it's a very happy, happy time for us. So the Levites quieted the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. Be grateful for that. Here we're in a little room in London, Kentucky. And if you just go outside, if I said, let's all just go outside for a minute and let's look at I-75. And you're going to see people, many, many people. This is Monday, don't forget. It's work day. People are going trucks, 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 cars, 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 going back and forth, back and forth. That tells me that not many people know about this day. God has given to us the understanding about what these days are all about. What, you know, it's something to never take for granted and always be thankful for. So this was a sobering time for the Israelites, who were allowed to return from captivity. But as we know from history, they once again ignored God's warnings, and they were eventually once again scattered due to their backsliding. Can you believe it happened again? You go through it, you get back on track, and it happened again. Well, again, modern-day history, early 80s, back on track again. That didn't last very long, did it? Not at all. In fact, much of the church was scattered after that. You'd think that would be a good lesson to learn. It's happened in modern-day history as well. God has given many warnings which mankind has continued to ignore, and so we do typically, which I kind of metaphorically say, it's like hitting the snooze button and going back to sleep again. We've got to be alert and watch what's going on around us at this time, because it's a matter of time, only a matter of time, before utter catastrophe will befall this society. And Matthew 24, let's take a look at this really quick. Matthew 24 and verse 1. Now, some of these prophecies took place from this time that Jesus Christ was talking about, because as you know, we've got the historical record of this in 70 A.D., it came down, and the people were all, that was it. That was it for the Jewish nation. At this time, now, the temple was in its 40th year of rebuilding by King Herod. It said in verse 1 of Matthew 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And he said, do you see these things? Verily I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Not many years later, it took place. That was probably about 40 years later when this took place. So it would be in the lifetime of you and I, if you were listening to Jesus Christ at that time. Some of the disciples had already been, or apostles had already been martyred by that time. But many there saw these things that came to pass. So he was referring to the time to come in approximately another 40 years where the destruction of Jerusalem was to take place by the Roman general Titus. And that's one of the fascinating things, again, which I remember going over there to witness and see as we went way up to the top of Masada, where there were only a band of what was left. And eventually they ended up killing themselves because the Romans finally built the ramp to be able to get up there to Masada, which was an engineering accomplishment of his time. But you can see where those Roman encampments were. That happened. It happened in that time. So now we're looking at a time to come in the future where these things will take place. By the way, I'll tell you again, in 2 weeks, you're going to be somewhere at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I hope that you remember I said that. That's how fast this is going to go by. So what I'm saying to you, the events that Christ is referring to that will transpire in the future are going to come quickly as well, just as our lives have gone by so quickly. And it seems to be, again, getting shorter all the time as well. So verse 3, it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will take place. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So he said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And they're bring it up to date. You can look online. There's a lot of deceptions going on as far as these prophecies and what's going to be taking place and two witnesses coming on the scene. They just won't give it up. People will get out there. They'll make some prophetic date. It'll come to pass and nothing happens. And then they'll go ahead and they'll make another one. We'll say you can't set those dates. All that you can do is help the people to be on tip-top condition so you'll be aware when these things start to come so you and I will be ready. It's more than just knowing some kind of date. It's always intriguing, isn't it? People want to know the answer to those prophecies, and wow, are they intrigued by it. They'll follow people because they're going, hey, I know this stuff. Listen to me. No, we're to know the most important stuff that Christ says, be ready. Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I, or Jesus is Christ, and they will deceive many. And they have. Many have done that. Jesus is Christ. That's all you got to do is proclaim Jesus. Jesus is being proclaimed all over the place. But it's a false Jesus that's being proclaimed. So we're watching that. We're seeing that. And they'll deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. I'm hearing of that today. You know, so many places throughout, it never seems to stop. The Middle East, and someday someone's going to go peace, peace. It seems like things will settle down a little bit, but Jerusalem has never settled down, except in the time of David, and just for a short times. Or in the days of Melchizedek, when he was king of Salem there, very short times that you saw peace in that area. But see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So as we see things that are happening and transpiring now, I've got to personally take a look at that and not be troubled, because when I watch some of the news items that come on, I'm more troubled sometimes now than I ever was before. Maybe because I'm watching more news now, or is it because of some of the sad things that we're witnessing and watching that are, this shouldn't be the way that this works. And they can't seem, nobody can ever seem to get together, and we're always having, they're bombing Syria, and Turkey and Pakistan are worried about more refugees, so they're closing the border. What's going to happen to these people that don't have a place to go back to? You see the sadness of what's transpiring all over the world and even in our very own country. We're watching these things, but Christ said, don't be troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. Well, frankly, those have happened. But I think we see that these are going to increase. Because as Satan gets in there more and more to deceive people, he's going to bring people against one another. I cannot believe the time that we're in now, that even within our government, that I can see more of the hatred. It's not just disagreeing with one another. It's really, there's an anger and a hatred in there. And by the way, we've seen that within the church as well. So you can see Satan's footprint. And these aren't long intervals. It wasn't very long ago when some of these things even took place within the Church of God. So again, I believe that as we're watching these things, we see the significance, and we're watching these things come to take place more and more in our lives. It says, these are the beginning of sorrows. They'll deliver you up to be afflicted. They'll kill you. You will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, this did transpire. They did kill. Maybe this is a sign for the future as well, as we look at sometimes the duality in prophecy. Maybe God will allow some of his Christians or saints to be killed. Overall, I think there's going to be a protection. But it says these things will happen, and a lot were killed at this time. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will arise, and they'll deceive many. Seems all the time, again, somebody can put out there an article or something on the internet, and somebody out there is going to buy it. And we've got to be above that, be watching and praying about these things. Because iniquity will abound. I'll just ask that question. Is iniquity abounding? In every way, in every form it is. I mean, some of the cities are not really able to sustain the killing and the murders. They're trying to take away guns now so they can keep it down, but that means all the bad people are going to get the guns still. So it's very difficult even to contain that. The sexual sins that are taking place, so many things that are so bad. Iniquity is abounding. And it says the love of many will wax cold. There won't be any trust because of the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the murder, the sexual immorality. You can see what's happening even in the form of all the different religions, not just within our groups, but all the religions of this world. I was looking at just in an article of all the different religions and all the different ideas. The names are incredible. This has happened once again within the Church of God. Somebody published one time, this was years ago, all of the splinter groups of the Church of God. Why do you think you have all the splinters within the Church of God? Trust. Everybody thinks that I'm going to build my own little group now because I can't trust anybody else. So everybody's been scattered all over the place. These things, again, have been taking place in the modern day age as well. Verse 13, though, it says, he who endures to the end, the same will be saved. But you know, it was the shofar once again that was and is still blown during the Feast of Trumpets. It's not that pleasing sound. Again, probably used by the Israelites in Joshua's time during the destruction of the city of Jericho. But it's also depicted as being used in the future when God the Father chooses to finally intervene before man utterly destroys himself. Let's look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 1 to see a couple examples here. Right now, obviously, that does not happen around us unless, I wonder, probably somebody is probably blowing these shofars at their Jewish synagogues today. It's definitely was blown over the city of Jerusalem today. There's no doubt about that. But in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, blow the, it says the trumpet, but this is the word for shofar. Blow the shofar in Zion. Here it is. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes. It's near at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. It talks about much of the sun being blotted out at that time, probably because of all the destruction, all of the wars. Once again, somebody pointed all the way back to the time they thought that this possibly, or one of the seals referred to the time in Iraq. Because of all the oil fields that were set on fire and all the smoke. Well, I didn't get any of that smoke over here, not that I can remember. I know there was lots of it that took place, but we're going to see it, I believe, a lot more than that even around the world as these things take place. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there's never been the like, neither shall any more after it, even for many generations. So wonder what, you know why it says that for many generations? Because it's going to come again. When? See, as we know, as we've been taught, it's going to come, believe it or not, at the end of the millennium. Satan's going to be loosed for a season, and he's going to do his job, and he's going to do it well. And there's going to be a war, that last war that will take place, that Christ is going to subdue once again. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Here is where we talk about these churches, and so many of these points, this one specifically, applies to us as well. Letters preserved. We can talk about times. If you talk about times, and it is, some think it's eras, and if that's the case, I certainly would agree that we're in a Laodicean time. I mean, this is a time that God's word has been so watered down. But let's not forget to look at the other important principles as well, though we can reflect on ourselves that we've got to be excited. Remember that first love. That's why I like to go back to my beginnings. Maybe you do too, because I remember my start in the church was just a wonderful beginning. You know, it was so sad to see when my church and my college was taken away. It was very, very difficult time. But I go back to the time, and I'm grateful for the time that God called me, and for some reason, I just decided, Mom, I think I want to get baptized. I had no idea where that would lead me, but an exciting time that I never want to forget God's mercy and love in my life. I have no idea where I would have been if God had not called me. Where would you be now if it hadn't been for God's calling? Just a part of this world, going back to and fro as well, not understanding totally what's going to be happening in the future, what happens when somebody dies, how to take care of certain things even within our own lives, to sharpen ourselves, to grow, to learn. And even through that, the truth that God's given to us, we still have issues and problems, and it's not always so easy. But I'm so grateful to God that if I'm going to take a path where he says there's going to be many trials this way as you enter in the kingdom of God, I'm thinking, well, there's many trials that way too. Yeah, but God's not guiding those. He's with you during these ones. I'd rather be with the ones that he's with me, because he's showing me, he's loving, and he's merciful to me when he's given to us this calling. This world, he's letting it go for the most part. Just letting mankind have it to themselves. Go and see if you can fix it and work it out. And it's not looking good, is it? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here's these sevens being proclaimed here. I know your works and your labor and your patience, how you cannot bear those who are evil. I could actually say the same thing about you. I could write the same thing, because I've seen your works. I've seen your patience, because you're still here. You're here every Sabbath. For as long as I've been here, over 10 years now, you've kept the Feast of Trumpets. You've hung in there. I understand that. I see the giving nature of the churches, at least that I've served as well. That's a good thing. So far, so good. And you cannot bear those who are evil. It's been very painful when we've been confronted by and seen, even within our own churches sometimes, those who have not been totally honest and treated each other in a way that you knew that didn't reflect God. And it was hurtful. It was painful to go through that. I've watched that as well and been through that with you. You've tested those that say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. Anyone out there can proclaim to go this way, but you're looking at what's been said, and you're going, this is not coinciding with what the Word of God says or what I've been taught. And it says in verse 3, you've borne, you've patience, and for my name's sake have labored and not fainted. You've not given up, except I'll say once again, it says he that endures to the end. But here in verse 4, you would think of all those good things. What was lacking? It says, you've left your first love. Now, I'll do this in the future. I'm going to give a love sermon in the future here. It's going back to the time, maybe if I could reflect on this, where I met my wife for the first time. Do you know, there's nothing like that tingly feeling that you get. I can't remember the first time, but I know there had to be a first time when you hold her hand, you know, and then you're kind of waiting even for the either for the rejection or for the acceptance. Very interesting. But you hold her hand and maybe she reciprocates or he reciprocates. And all of a sudden you kind of get this bubbly, like tingly feeling. This is pretty neat. But then you go on through life and you stop holding hands. You don't have that tingly feeling anymore. You know, I want to have the excitement for God's church that I had when I started. I want to have that feeling to be so excited when I come to church services. It's just like, yes, I cannot wait to see these people. Not, oh my, I gotta see these people again. I gotta sit for another 2 hours, then eat that chow that I have no idea where it came from. Oh, I love coming. And I want to grow, and we all need to grow in that. So this, you cannot wait to get to Sabbath services and be refreshed about God's truth. You know, we had two pastoral counseling classes this past week. We have these about quarterly, just as we do the quarterly sermons. I don't know if you know the reason that we've got quarterly sermons. The attempt is to give some of the pastors a break. I don't seem to get one, because I went to St. Louis and I spoke there when we had our quarterly sermon. So I want to get to the point where I can actually enjoy those. But the day will come. But the point is that you go through these reflections and things that you do. and that you have. And so again, sometimes we forget why we're there in the first place. It just becomes something that we do instead of something that we rejoice in. And it could go down even to the basic giving of an envelope with an offering or singing a song. Do we sing with joyfulness or with gratefulness? Do we give with joyfulness and gratefulness? Do we love our wives because we have to or because we want to? Do we give because we want to or because we have to? It all goes back down to the heart, and that's what he was saying here. You forgot about this. Church just became commonplace, and it starts to make us backslide. If we start to look at all the frustrations around us and we start to give it up, we're going to have to be built up higher, by the way, with this trust factor, to trust in God. When we see all these things taking place, we might start to say, where's God in all this? And we forget that these things were prophesied to happen. And he goes, don't worry, it's got to take place. Do what you're supposed to do with joyfulness and gladness and gratefulness, knowing that this is just the beginning of the end times of which he's called us for. Very exciting times. He says, remember from whence you have fallen. What would that be? And your excitement and zeal for the truth could be one of them. From where you fall, do you still tithe and give offerings? Yes. Well, you've not fallen from that. But maybe it's you've fallen from being grateful and being thankful, and it becomes just something to do. And that's just one form I'm discussing. We've got to examine ourselves in all these ways as well. So it says, do the first works. Repent and do the first works. The first things that prompted you to obey God in the first place because you had such a thirst. What's it say in Matthew 5? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You can never get filled up enough with this. As I said, you can never have enough fruit of God's Spirit. So we've got to constantly pray and study and fast and meditate and not give up on that when it comes to our relationship with God, because it's going to produce good fruit. It's going to produce growth, and you won't become like this. This will not happen. Did I just get time there? I heard a beeping sound there. I'm almost done here. It says, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place unless you repent. So that's saying, if we know these things and understand them, and if you leave today, for instance, you leave today and you just go, I heard a really good sermon there, and it was so neat to see when I talked about this love aspect. I saw last week that an older man took his wife's hand, and he goes, look what I'm doing. I'm going, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, the refreshment that's in there. Sometimes men or maybe women get a little stubborn. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. Why not? Well, because she doesn't always like me to hold my hand. How do you know? Maybe she'd really like that, something different in our lives as well. But it's looking at that within all aspects of our life and making changes, unless we see ourselves, you know, because I hear aspects of this sometimes. Well, you know, I really shouldn't be eating that, but, you know, yeah, it's just like you get a, you know, just a little here. And as I've said, we're getting a lot of little here's and little there's. So if you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I shouldn't be doing this or I should be doing this, then we've got to have more discipline and prayer. I love it when people, even in their older ages, will still change. Fantastic. That's what we should be doing. It's harder when people are so-called set in their ways, but God's people should never be set in their ways. That's how we can come upon this attitude. And God says, change. Or I'll come to you and find somebody else who will appreciate it. That's where I think we are as God is bringing his first fruits together. He's designated certain amount of people that are going to be with him and help him. And these people that are with him are going to have to be excited about this. They're going to have to appreciate and love what they're doing so we can constantly make changes. We're going to have to be so ready for this in our training program that we're ready. And again, because of what we're surrounded with, it makes us backslide sometimes because we've got so much in this country that we are so blessed with. We've got to look through that and use that time to work even harder. Revelation 22, verse 1. Again, some exciting times that we speak in, that we're confronting today. Revelation 22, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, we've got some pretty nice places that you go through, that you in many different places. If you go to Nassau in the Bahamas, they've got a place there that was built that's just the wall hangings and the chandeliers and other things are just gorgeous. But then you walk through one area and it's got ding, 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 and all this noise because it's a slot machines and everything else. But the beauty at what some people can do, well, there's going to be a beauty here that is going to be breathtaking because it's going to be of God. I look forward to really seeing how this is going to look. It says, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations. There will be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads, as, again, this was mentioned. Y'all will write upon him my new name. What's going to be your new name? I got a new name twice. It didn't really replace my name, but when I took French in high school, my name was Maurice. So when I was in French class, it was Maurice. I don't know if I'd want that the rest of my life, but anyway. And my Chinese name, and this was just for about 8 weeks, and even though my friends that I went to China with would call me it after that, and it didn't bother me, but it was O-Wei-Er. So that was my Chinese name, and so they would call me O-Wei. Away, 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 don't, you know, especially when you're down south. But what about this new name? You know, are we going to ever come up to each other? Hey, my new name is this. You know, I think that's one of the blessings of prophecy, is if you can try to grasp it and try to grasp what's said, even though we might not be able to nail it, I can try to think of what it might be like and how exciting it really is. Because God's given us his spirit to at least grasp, if not all of it in totality, little pieces here and there that can help us to keep going. Okay, Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, we'll end here. This is very interesting how this is going to look. Revelation 3, 9, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I'll make them to come into worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Have you ever been worshipped? I hope not. But this is going to happen. This is what it says. People will worship before our feet because we'll be a part of the God family. We'll be God as God as God. Not in that eternal power and glory like the Father has, but we'll be a part of that family. And it says people will worship at your feet to know that I have loved you. Because you've kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon all the world to try those who dwell upon the earth. So that one there says, for the most part, his people will be protected. So you don't have to be concerned about that. Whatever God allows us to go through, he goes, I won't give you any more than you can handle. But for the most part, he says, here, you'll have protection. I'll keep you from that hour of trial. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that ye have, that no one takes your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. There's that structure that I've talked about before when it comes to the building process. Remember the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Christ the cornerstone? I will make him a pillar. What does a pillar do? Here's what a pillar of people will not do. You just stand there. We'll be serving God. And we'll be enjoying the process. How exciting of a time it's going to be for us. I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. He will go out no more. In other words, your destiny will be sealed. That's it. No more. That's who you'll be. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. So trumpets means a lot more than just one thing, one item, more than just the return of Jesus Christ. It culminates in that, but it certainly encompasses a large time within that time frame. A very scary time for this world. Not for us, don't forget. Because of our understanding, what God gives, once we see these things unfolding, probably those that have really practiced this will be going, wow, look at what's transpiring now. This really seems to be coming close. I guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to even draw closer to God, which we should be doing right now as we're given this information and as we watch the events coming around us. So let's just make sure as we see all the information that's given out there that can be a distraction to realize as we go forward, God will unfold all these other events. You don't have to know every answer to everything that's going on. Watch the world around you. Ask God for discernment to discern the times and also for the power of His Holy Spirit that you'll never give up and you'll always endure. That way we'll avoid the process of what I'll call tooting our own horn. Let's let God blow the trumpet and the shofar, and let's be ready for that time. Have a wonderful rest of the Feast of Trumpets.